I really do just like seeing all of the different displays that the attractions do and how they decorate for the holidays. And the State Museum in particular, that's probably where I spend the most of my time. They start thinking about it in July. Just watching them from when they just start decorating up until where everything is fully operational, those are my favorite parts.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
Hey, thanks for listening. It's becoming one of our favorite traditions around the holidays. We get a visit from our friends at the White River State Park, namely Jake Oakman, who is the executive director of the White River State Park Development Commission. We'll talk some zoo, some Everwise Amphitheater, Victory Field, Indiana State Museum, IMAX Theater, and of course all of the holly jolly activities going on this month around the White River State Park, and also the familiar voice of White River Owl. Thanks for listening. Haven't had you in here for a year. What was this year like for you guys at the park?
It was busy. It was really good. We had another successful year at the TCU, soon-to-be Everwise Amphitheater.
Breaking news?
Yeah. So we had about 50 shows, I'd say. Zubilation was a sellout, all the events and things like that. So it was a good summer. TCU, the TCU Amphitheater, TCU has changed their name to Everwise.
Oh, okay.
And so, and actually, our amphitheater is sort of lagging behind because TCU did that over the summer. But since we were in the middle of the concert season, changing the name of the venue was a little bit, would have gotten a little bit confusing.
Did you get out to any shows?
I saw a few. I didn't stay for as many as I did last season. But I saw Billy Strings. See, I'm like an old classic rock guy.
So yeah.
Trying to think of the legacy acts that came through.
Jethro
about
Tull.
Jethro Tull was
one,
yeah, with his flute. He's a flautist. Ian, whatever his name is. Ian Anderson? That's the head Jethro Tull guy,
and then
right?
You had Michael McDonald for the Giving Gig, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the Doobie Brothers Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Do we want to introduce our
White River Owl?
White River Owl.
I think people know the voice.
I think so, yeah.
At this point, White River Owl just takes over once a Christmas. Once a Christmas.
And what's your Twitter handle, White River Owl?
Yeah, it's at White River Owl.
It's X.
You can find me at, it's X, and it's at White River Owl at any given time.
What can people expect on that feed?
Yeah, a lot of White River State Park and a lot of White River in general.
In professional wrestling terms, White River Owl is living the gimmick. You hear about that? Like Ric Flair lived the gimmick.
Okay.
And that's
I like to think of White River or White River State Park as my Undertaker, and I'm Paul Bearer.
Okay.
I'm kind of just a hype man promoting, talking about.
Nobody knows anymore where the former Alec Gray ends and White River Al begins.
I think that's accurate.
They're all
say.
Just one person at this point.
I think that's all right.
Kind of like James Varney and Ernest.
Man, you've really gone off the rails on this one.
You couldn't separate the two. Well, Ernest did save Christmas at one
point. We could talk
if we want to bring it back.
Yeah. What's your title?
Director of Marketing and Communications at White River State Park.
Thank you. Are you active on social media, Jake?
Mm-hmm. I have an X handle, at Jake Oakman, and it's mostly Red Sox, IU basketball, and White River Park. White River State Park.
What more could you ask for?
Movies, every once in a while I'll tweet about movies,
because
of course we do have the state's largest movie screen at the park, the IMAX. So.
We've done it before, but what all falls under the purview of your job title as well as under the White River State Park umbrella?
Yeah, White River State Park in total is 250 acres, and the zoo is part of our campus. Victory Field, home of the Indianapolis Indians, is part of the park. The Eideljorg, the State Museum, the NCAA Hall of Champions, and the NCAA headquarters, the IMAX Theater, and the amphitheater, the TCU, soon-to-be Everwise Amphitheater. So it's one of those things where I think, as we've talked about before, a lot of people don't realize the totality of what the park is, and that's why we're thankful to come on here and talk about it.
Weather's getting colder. Does that mean the end of fun at the park?
No, in some ways it's the beginning of fun.
Beginning.
The zoo, for instance, I think December is either their second busiest or busiest month of the entire year because of all the activities they have for the holidays. The State Museum really decks out for Christmas and the holidays. The Otto Georg has jingle rails every year. So, and Victory Field is starting to do some new events for Christmas. Yeah, bourbon at the ballpark, two of my favorite things, bourbon and baseball. And the worse the Red Sox do, the more bourbon I seem to. There's a correlation there. So yeah, just because the weather's cold doesn't mean you people shouldn't come out to White River State Park.
So I know last year we talked about Polar Express at the IMAX. Did you make it in for that?
I did not see Polar Express last year at the IMAX. I have seen it before.
Yeah.
But I did not see it at the IMAX. But it's coming back.
3D?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
3D. And it's one of the most, you know, Christmas, one of the great things about it, obviously it's a holiday of faith for those of us who believe, but there's also the traditions and history and all that. And Polar Express at the IMAX has become a big tradition for people. And it's still, you know, it's a pleasant surprise every year, the sort of staying power that movie has. And I think part of it is I didn't grow up with it. I was probably a little bit too old when it first came out, but I also didn't grow up with White Christmas. I'm too young for that one, but that is my favorite one.
Okay.
But yeah, Polar Express, it'll be there, and we're fully expecting sellouts again. I don't know if it'll be as big as Oppenheimer was this summer, but it should be up there.
Oppenheimer stayed for a while, right?
We had it for 6 weeks total and had 68 straight sellouts.
Wow. I mean, and I think it was like three extensions, two or three extensions where it just people just kept wanting to see it.
Yeah.
It was really impressive because when it plays on film, it fills up that entire screen in a way that a digital movie doesn't. And it's like when we say state's largest movie screen, when you see something on film in there, it's wild how big it is.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, we had it for 3 weeks originally and then extended it for 2 weeks and then extended it for another week. So 6 weeks total.
So I think now is as good a time as any. I think we should lock it in, make it formal. You and me, pajama night at Polar Express, 3D glasses this year.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Last year I went with my nieces and nephews, and I see the movie every year.
Okay. Do you make it a point to see it every year?
I watch it on December 23rd every year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To me, it's the ultimate, like, Christmas Eve vibes, but yeah, I'm too busy on Christmas Eve to watch it.
Right.
So I watch it on the 23rd.
What do you do on Christmas Eve?
I get sushi.
Well, yeah, as one does.
That's what I was going to say.
I always watch the St. Peter's Mass on NBC, but that's not till later. Usually there are plans of some sort.
Yeah.
No specific movie that day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the ones that are on my list that didn't get knocked off. You know, and Christmas Story starts on TBS TNT, so then I throw that on.
Do you remember, I was trying to think about this, did the Christmas Story on the Turner Networks kick off the idea of the just single movie marathon? That was that the first one that you guys can remember?
It's the first one I can remember, and we watched it. I made it a point as a kid. It was Christmas was the time my mom didn't really care when I went to bed, as long as I stayed away from the living room where Santa was doing the presents.
Sure.
They didn't care what I did, so like I watched The Christmas Story 6 times Christmas Eve, just...
Because now it's like they still do that on the Turner stations, and then even Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're not even Christmas. It was like for a while AMC was doing all three the first two Godfather movies is a marathon.
Loop?
Yeah,
really.
And I think like ABC Family, whatever it's called now,
Freeform. Yeah,
Freeform. Sorry, ABC Family. I hope they're not a sponsor. I think they do Christmas Vacation, or they were for a while.
Right.
But now it seems like every channel, probably because you could just press a button, everyone can go home, and no one has to work that day.
Yeah, it's
which
nice.
Is fine with me. But anyway,
so having seen it like every year for 15 years or something, the 3D is quite a different experience, and that movie lends itself to 3D well now.
Oh, I bet.
Now, animation's come a long way since then.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a little Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it in 3D, do it.
I'm going. Well, we're going to. Together.
You and I are. Yeah. I'm talking to the masses.
Oh, yeah.
We're mass communicating.
Sorry, you were staring right into my eyes. I thought it was a challenge to me directly, but challenge accepted.
What did your family think of? Did they kind of appreciate the scale of it?
Yeah, and my nieces specifically, as they were growing up, I tried to minister the gospel of the Polar Express to them, and they did not receive it in full.
Yeah.
But I believe that night was a special experience for them.
It's good.
And it's kind of funny. The park has become this weird, like, train capital of Indianapolis between them, Jingle Rails at the Otto Georg Museum, Celebration Crossing at the State Museum, and then the train that kind of goes around and lets you see all the lights at Christmas at the zoo. It's a lot more train than I expected coming into this
trains,
job.
Choo choo.
Yeah, choo choo indeed.
Let's get our dates right here. So the Polar Express is coming back.
That is correct.
Do you know if they're doing the pajama deal?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
So basically, children under 12, if they wear pajamas, they get a free ticket with the purchase of an adult ticket.
Do you say pajamas or pajamas?
It depends, really.
Yeah. I'm a pajama man.
I'm a pajama. You say pajama. I say pajamas.
But when in Rome, you were saying it the way I said it, mm-hmm. so as to
like Andy Bernard. I'm reflecting. What's he say in the office? I'm mirroring.
Yes. It's all about mirroring.
Yeah,
skilled, it's a power play.
Skilled communicator, right?
Yeah, not me. I'm stubborn as they come. It is pajama at all times.
Pajamas.
It's almost always followed by man.
Let's
that pajama
call the
man.
Whole thing off. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
You say tomato, tomato.
I was tracking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Someone was.
So that's early December. Mm-hmm. And then is that every night?
It'll be mostly every night. It also depends on the new releases that we'll have at the IMAX and how all that kind of shakes out. But you can always go to imaxindy.com or whiteriverstatepark.org too. And I would strongly suggest people who want to see the Polar Express buy tickets as far in advance as they can, because those shows, I don't think all of them sell out, but it's certainly popular. And then another one, if we can talk about...
Yeah, let's...
Okay. On December 12th, we've got One Night Only as part of our classic film series. We are showing White Christmas. The classic Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, Vera Ellen.
So that didn't happen last year.
That did not happen last year. And that's a new one. And we'll have it for One Night Only. And something that's really cool, too, for movie buffs out there. I mean, not only is it like one of the classic Christmas films of all time, but we're partnering with the Great American Songbook Foundation, which is an organization in Carmel. And they actually have a lot of Rosemary Clooney's archives and artifacts, and a lot of Bing Crosby archives and artifacts. So we'll have a neat little display that has some... you know, Hollywood memorabilia, from some of it from the film, but some of it just from those two stars that were in the film. So that'll be a neat display that we'll have in the lobby.
White Christmas from 1954. Mm-hmm. Absolute classic. Say that I really am adamant that I want to take a date to that one.
Okay.
When do I get my tickets, do you think?
They're on sale now. I'd get them now.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's going to sell out, right?
It'll come really close. I looked at it today, and there's a handful of tickets left. But I would recommend, as soon as you listen to this, buying your tickets. IMAXIndy.com, WhiteRiverStatePark.org.
So that's part of the IMAX Indy Presents classic film series.
Yes.
What else has played in that series?
So we showed The Godfather Part II. We did Lawrence of Arabia. This was all earlier in the year. We did my personal favorite movie of all time, Raiders of the Lost Ark. We did that about 4 weeks before the fifth and final Indiana Jones movie played. We've done The Shining, Gladiator, which we had Ridley Scott's most recent historic picture, Napoleon, a week or so ago. So having Gladiator was fun. The Great Escape, the week of Thanksgiving, which is my favorite World War II movie. Not that I just say, here are my favorite movies, play them.
Yeah.
But it kind of works out that way. And then we'll do another classic film. We'll continue the IMAX Presents film series into 2024. So you'll have to make sure to check out our website after that to see what the next movies will be.
No hints?
Well... there's a Western film that I have a even though it's not finalized, I have a inkling that might play. And if you're my Huckleberry, you might see that film at the IMAX. That's all I could say about that.
I'm lost.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good.
What's been really nice about the classic film series in general is I think it brings a slightly different audience than we're used to at the mm-hmm. theater. A lot of times people want to bring, like, the first comment I hear, we have an intern that's with us right now in the park through December, and he saw The Shining's coming in, or was coming in October, and he's like, oh, I want to take my mom to that, or, oh, White Christmas is coming, this family member really would like that. And it kind of brings the people who would traditionally bring that be at our movies, but it mm-hmm. gives us a chance to maybe bring in a demographic that wasn't there before to kind of experience
and
that
theater.
And I
think White Christmas is the perfect example of that, because with Polar Express and Christmas time, we obviously do really well with families and, you know, families with kids and things like that. But for, you know, empty nesters or people who want to have more of a date night or something like that. White Christmas is going to appeal to a different demographic. And that classic film series we usually do on like a Tuesday night throughout the year, which it traditionally isn't the busiest night for movie theaters. So yeah. It's been good.
So paint me a picture. I'm a family of 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm. You don't know?
The Polar Express. And those start earlier, right? Like 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So there's time after the movie. What do you recommend?
Really just, you could spend time in the open areas of the museum. Even though the museum itself will likely be closed, the exhibition halls will be closed when the movie ends. But just seeing the Christmas decorations in the State Museum, the diorama that they have that kind of recreates what the, you know, a downtown city street looked like in the 1950s. Some of the Christmas trees. I mean, I can't even remember the number of Christmas trees they have in the State Museum, but it's got to be at least 50. And that's just outside of the Celebration Crossing ride. That's one great thing to do. And then the park itself, if it's, you know, you'll probably want to bring a coat, but we have a pretty good Christmas light display along the canal and along the Washington Street Bridge that goes over the White River. So really just kind of, I would take a stroll through the museum and then head out to the park and just kind of look at the Christmas lights and take it all in.
And it was a great way. Last year I took my 2-year-old and my grandma, who's 89, at the same time we did kind of Christmas at White River State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was equally good for both of them, just kind of slightly different ways. But we did jingle rails, and they really liked, my son likes looking at the model trains. My grandma likes seeing all the things they've kind of created for these landscapes. Then we did went over to Celebration Crossing. We rode the train around the third floor of the museum.
They rode the train?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
With the 2-year-old and the grandma, we've sat in the caboose, is what they call it.
I have not ridden the train. I think it's because I have a big caboose. So I don't know if it's made for somebody of my stature.
I fit just fine in the back of that.
Yeah, but you're just a little guy.
We squeezed 5 people in there. You are not the size of 5 people.
That's true. I'm working on it. But
2 to 89 is a big chasm. But I'm looking for something for kids from 1 to 92.
Yeah, that one-year-old demographic.
I got it.
This guy knows. Uh-huh. You know that?
No. I have no clue what you're talking about.
We'll have
about.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We'll have that.
I got
Jack Frost will nip at your nose.
I bet you could croon a little. Why don't you teach White River Owl?
So your assignment, should you choose to accept, which you have no choice.
Yeah, you're my boss. I don't have a lot of options.
No, you know the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire? That's from kids from 1 to 92.
Oh, okay. I missed that lyric. I apologize.
I think that was a worthwhile rabbit trail.
Yeah. Always.
Absolutely, it was. Yeah, what is your favorite Christmas song? Did we cover this last time? I know we did movies.
It doesn't matter. Okay. I'd be more than willing to share.
What is your favorite Christmas song? And if it's a sort of classic standard, by what artist is your favorite version?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
That was a poorly worded question, but you got it.
My favorite carol, if I could differentiate between the carol and profane.
I'll allow it.
My favorite profane song is Winter Wonderland. It's cheesy as I'll get out, admittedly.
Okay, but so when you said profane, I thought you were going to go in a completely different direction.
That is the actual differentiation, the sacred and the profane.
Okay.
That is, there is a technical differentiation there, but yeah, it sounds way worse than it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, I didn't know that. I thought like he was going to, yeah, I won't say.
Oh, Holy Night's my favorite carol.
That's a good one.
And I think my favorite version is the John Williams from Home Alone with the kids' choir, I think. I like many versions.
You can't go wrong with Home Alone, John Williams, Oh Holy Night. You don't like the Cartman version from South Park?
Profane.
Oh, okay.
How did that Harry Connick album hit you last year?
It hit me in all the feels. Isn't that what the young people say now? That'd I mean, he's just tremendous. He could do anything. I still think his very first Christmas album, When My Heart Finds Christmas, is his best of the 4 that he's done, but they're all fantastic.
I predict some sort of a wide release of that album this year, because it was Amazon only last year, right?
Apple Music.
Apple, yeah.
And I was thinking about you the other day, and not in a weird way, but I'm old school in that I like physical media, and I did a Google search like a couple weeks ago, because I remember you had said last year that you think some sort of deluxe CD release will come out, and they haven't announced anything yet, but he's doing a Christmas tour in Australia, Right now.
Right now.
So maybe...
As we record this.
Yeah.
Which is early.
Right. It is. So maybe by the time, you know, you might have to do some editing. But I liked it. I did.
He's your favorite artist or he's your favorite Christmas artist?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, no. Frank Sinatra is my favorite singer of all time. He's also probably the best vocalist of the 20th century. But as far as like living a contemporary artist that, you know, kind of that plays that music and has that connection, I definitely, Harry Connick's definitely one of my favorites. It's basically my four biggest musical influences are Frank Sinatra, The Who, Huey Lewis and the News, and Harry Connick Jr.
I was going to ask if The Who squeezed in a Christmas album at any point.
Well, they've never done a Christmas album, but they have a song from the rock opera Tommy called Christmas.
There's a deep cut.
Wow. For you. And it's probably would be considered a profane Christmas song.
I would have to guess. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the I think that's the closest thing they have to a Christmas song is from Tommy, the rock opera. That's not about Christmas.
I know. I'm sure I asked you last year. Uh-huh. What is your favorite Christmas song of all time?
My favorite Christmas song is "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas" or "Have Yourself a Yeah, Have yeah. Yourself a Merry Little Yeah." But and then the Frank Sinatra version, and I think that the new or newish, the most recent Harry Connick Jr. Christmas album, he sang that song, and I think it was the first time he has done that on any of his albums.
Wait, four albums to do that song?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, he writes a lot of his own stuff too. I mean, the man is prolific. He's not just—he's contributing to the Christmas catalog as well as mining it for material.
Oh, that's good. Did you just feel that? Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope he's listening. And we would love to. He played the TCU Amphitheater in 2021, and we would love to have him back. So, Harry, when you get back from Australia, bring Jill, bring Charlotte, Georgia, the girls, bring everyone.
So I've never been to White River State Park at the holidays. What all you got?
Well, we've covered the movies at the IMAX, home of the state's largest movie screen. So I'll also give a plug for the zoo, which we mentioned earlier. December is one of their busiest months, if not their busiest month. But starting around November 18th, they have everything set up. I mean, it's you know, Clark Griswold looks tame compared to their Christmas lights displays. But then they have, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Claus are out there. They've got all the animals. You could see, you know, the new baby elephant will probably be out there. So that's a great one to see. Victory Field, as we had mentioned earlier, they're doing more wintertime, Christmastime activities. Bourbon at the Ballpark. So obviously this is more, you had mentioned family events. This is probably more not for your nieces. This is after, we'll head over there in our pajamas after we see Polar Express and we'll sample some bourbon. But they also have Rowdy's Home Plate Holiday, which is a pancake breakfast event. They decorate ornaments, photos with Rowdy Claus. So that's definitely more of a family event at the ballpark. Celebration Crossing at the State Museum is kind of the recreation of that classic 1950s era department store train ride. And of course, they have the tea room at the State Museum, the recreation of the Ellis Ayers tea room. Jingle Rails at the Idlejorg. There's always something new, some new display or some new model train thing that they work into their display. And that one's a really neat thing to see. And that one probably runs the longest of everything we've mentioned. They extend that through Martin Luther King weekend.
Nice.
So you have time to see that one. But yep. those are the big ones. White River Owl, what have I missed?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. You have the Christmas lights. So if you're not looking to do a paid experience, just kind of taking a walk in the park along the canal and the river is always a good option absolutely. For you as well.
And that one's absolutely free.
Absolutely
free. I haven't found a way to monetize that yet. But one of these
admission
days.
To the canal.
Yeah, right.
I think
we covered it. We had our list. We checked it twice.
Oh,
I think
this guy's good.
I think the only thing you could add is some rentals in the park. We've got the Santa Hustle.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is a Christmas-themed 5K on Sunday, December 3rd. And I am always amazed that anyone wants to run even when the weather's really nice, much less when it is not as warm as it could be out there.
So as a Christmas lover and someone who loves your job, December 27th or so, you look back wistfully. The holidays have come and gone. What's your favorite part of Christmas at White River?
I really do just like seeing all of the different displays that the attractions do and how they decorate for the holidays. And the State Museum in particular, that's probably where I spend the most of my time because that's where our offices are. I mean, like White River Al said, they start thinking about it in July.
Yeah.
And just watching them from start to finish when they just start decorating up until where everything is put on, you know, is fully operational. Those are my favorite parts of it. And then, like, you know, it's going to be cool to see White Christmas on the state's largest movie screen. It's going to be cool to sip bourbon at Victory Field. But just sort of being in the State Museum a lot during the holidays is always fun.
Website looks really good these days. WhiteRiverStatePark.org. Is that basically one-stop shopping for information on everything we've talked about?
Absolutely. And I got to give credit to White River Al. We built a new website in 2023, and it launched earlier this year over the summer. And I think it's a lot more user-friendly. But that's the place to kind of see everything that's going on in the park. And then from that website, we could send you off to the IMAX to buy tickets or the Eideljorg to see dates and times for Jingle Rails or, you know, the zoo to buy tickets for their holiday events. But, yeah, go there first, and then there's links and info and everything to get you where you need to go and get you to buy tickets and all those things, WhiteRiverStatePark.org.
Don't know if you guys have heard. Eclipse. 2024.
Yeah.
You guys should do something.
I think we will. And here's what, if I had to come up with something, and obviously this is not my plan. This is our events director, Lizzie Nunn, has been spearheading this for us. But on April 8th, 2024, there's a total solar eclipse in Indiana. I think it's the only one you'll be able to see for almost 200 years. That's a total solar eclipse here in Indianapolis. So everyone statewide is kind of thinking about how do we have an event where people can come out and enjoy. And I think what we're doing really well is we're right in the heart of downtown Indianapolis. We're having a free eclipse festival that day called Lunacy. And our festival is going to be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 8th. They're expecting, Visit Indy has been telling us they're expecting 500,000 to a million people coming in to see this event, because people travel to see these eclipses. They've been kind of tracking other cities and states and places that have had these kinds of events, and they're already starting to see those hotel numbers tick up. So it's, our event,
it is crazy,
it's nuts. And there, so for the eclipse festival at our park, we're going to be loading up the old Washington Street Bridge. Will be full of food trucks and bounce houses and some kind of placemaking. So if you want to come get food and drinks, that's going to be a great place for you. We'll have some yard games, things to do when you want to just spend time in the park. We'll have free solar eclipse glasses while supplies last in our visitor center.
Yeah, don't look at the eclipse.
Yeah, please don't look up at the eclipse without the proper glasses. And Visit Indy's been working with the IU School of Optometry to make sure the glasses they're getting are the real deal and safe before we ask people to stare into the sun for 4 minutes.
But we're getting total darkness, right?
Total darkness.
Yeah. We're in the field of totality.
Field of totality, which is what
we're
talking
really
about.
Which we really weren't. There was one in like 2017.
That's right.
And we could see it from downtown Indy, but like Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I remember that because that's where my brother lives. They were in that field of totality.
That's right.
And it was a million people. I mean, they had people that would just sort of pull off on the side of the highway and look at it. I mean, there were people traveling from all over to see it.
And I mean, it's going to be a real traffic situation. So we always encourage people to come out early so you can make sure you get a parking spot and have a place to stand. And as we get closer to the event, obviously it's not until April of 24. So our event will continue to expand as we plan it out. But we're working with NIFS, the National Institute of Fitness and Sport, on some yoga and Tabata classes that'll be free for people to take while they're there.
Do you want to do those? We can wear the same pajamas.
Didn't we talk about being ready to run a marathon or something last time?
Yeah. I think you've both made headway.
I think it's reasonable.
I think you've both made headway.
We both made weight.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There will be some story walks for people with kids that need to kind of walk off some of that energy. We have some really nice paths on our urban wilderness trail and our river promenade. And there will be, they're basically yard sign stories where as you take the walk, you're kind of reading the story as a family. That'll be a good way to keep kids energized and doing something while they're kind of hanging out and waiting. The eclipse itself is at 3:06 p.m. and it just lasts 2.5-3 minutes. It's you plan this event for a day in April, well, yeah. So you're like hoping yep. for the weather to be nice. But mm-hmm. if for some reason the weather wasn't what we wanted it to be, we still want people who are coming out to the park to have a great time. On top of that, the attractions themselves will be having events as well if you're looking for kind of a paid experience as well.
So that's a Monday, April 8th, and the state's going to be a zoo anyway.
Yeah.
Take off work.
Yeah, and a lot of schools are already turning those to e-learning days or taking the days off to give people kind of the opportunity to go see it. I know our IMAX will be showing Deep Sky, which is their new documentary about the James Webb Space Telescope.
Which is really cool.
It looks phenomenal. You've seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
Uh-huh. It's really cool.
And
the photos and footage that telescope can get. Because the thing about that documentary is they'll show some, like, here's what the Hubble telescope captured. And then, like, here's the exact same picture, but the Webb telescope, and just the amount of detail that the Webb telescope can pick up. And Hubble was, and it's still, like, a masterful piece of machinery out there floating in space.
That documentary is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, as a photographer, like, you, like, have your camera, and sometimes you can't get a picture of, like, Celebration Plaza in White River State Park the way you want to, and mm-hmm. they can throw this piece of machinery in space, and it can take pictures of things miles and miles and miles away. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind.
Yeah, me too.
So what's that again?
So it's a documentary. It's called Deep Sky, and it's about the James Webb Space Telescope. So it's the next one in the IMAX's documentary film series. They also have Blue Whales running right now, and I think Into America's Wild mm-hmm. will still be running as well. They've done a really great job of, I think a lot of times these institutional IMAXs have been traditionally just documentaries, so they do a really great job of balancing the school group documentary, the educational programming with the Hollywood product mm-hmm. as well.
Lunacy, Eclipse Day, mm-hmm. Monday, April 8th. You think there's going to be stuff on the website about that?
There is. So there's already right now you can find the event itself. There's also a Facebook event if you want to just mark it as interested so you don't have to think through, oh man, mark your calendars. But April 8th, 2024 is when it'll be happening. And I think there will be things going on around the city that weekend as well. Indy does a really great job of rolling out the red carpet when people come into town for these kinds of events, and I think it'll be a really great one.
I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I think you should have White River Al on, like, in March of 2024. Throw him behind the microphone again and talk about the eclipse. You don't have to commit to it now.
I can talk some eclipse.
Yeah, and there's some cool things that happen that a lot of times you need Mother Nature to kind of participate and help you out. Mm-hmm. We also have these cherry blossom trees in the park that are Japanese cherry blossom trees mm-hmm. that are supposed to... They didn't bloom this year because the frost was
too late
last year. But we're hoping in 24 they bloom again, and it's always that first week of April is kind of the time range. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of the way you're looking. If those are blooming at the same time, it's going to be best time to be at the park.
You know, Oh Holy Night is really a beautiful song.
Let's fire it up right now. Let's have a moment.
Okay. Do you have a version?
Yeah,
I'm not singing it. I have too much respect for that song.
Yeah,
but
me too.
And it really is a beautiful...
Next year, bring an accompaniment track.
I will I will focus on my singing as much as I focused on getting ready for a marathon.
Yeah, exactly.
Between now and next year.
I was going to say, we could put a small children's choir right here and just have a little backing track.
Now I'm trying to think of what my favorite carol, because like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is my favorite sort of non-carol, profane.
Yeah, I think profane is the word you're looking for there.
that's you learn something new every day, but you know, Silent Night's kind of...
Sinatra's Silent Night is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
When he lets the choir take over mm-hmm. in like the second verse.
I'm a sucker for a choir in any song. Total sucker.
It's tough to beat a good Silent Night, obviously.
It really is. Yeah. But Oh Holy Night is kind of the Pippin to Silent Night's Jordan. Maybe? I don't know.
If that's
you can edit that out. I don't think that works.
I think if Oh Holy Night is done well... That's why it's my favorite. If it's done well, there's nothing like it for Christmas. Well, we did it. Jake Oakman, Executive Director of White River State Park.
Yep.
White River Al.
White River Al.
Something other title. And then at White River Al on X, at Jake Oakman on X, WhiteRiverStatePark.org. Guys, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.
This is one of my favorite Christmas traditions now. 2 years running, that's a tradition at this point.